Just for sake of those attending the third topic, the review of the proposed design for parking ramp, we're going to reschedule that. The consultant would be driving down from the Twin Cities, and we advised, due to the weather, that they not make that trip. So it'll probably be on this February 17th, we're thinking. We'll reschedule that item. So we have two other items this afternoon. First up is the Parks and Recreation Master Plan update. Mr. Whitman, I think you're going to introduce it, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Just a very brief introduction. I want to thank Mark Kogler and his team, staff, and the advisory committee and others that have been involved and attested. This has been a thorough process so far with some exciting information and direction coming out of the planning process. I'd like to thank Council. You recall several months ago, we were in this committee of the whole setting discussing some directions on facilities and operations. Out of that came the kind of the tipping point to move forward with the master plan, which our staff and our board has long since seen that as a high priority, so we do appreciate your support. I just thought it'd be, for your interest, and some of you are aware of this, parallel to our master planning, our board chair, who's here today, Larry Mortensen, has spearheaded a long-term funding committee, long-term funding process to look at all the options available to us to make sure that as we look ahead that we're firing on every cylinder. Out of that is coming discussions to form a foundation to look at further grant opportunities and other non-traditional funding streams, as well as funding proposals that may come to this body. So wanted to let you know that we're looking ahead along with the planning efforts that are moving forward. So with that, just want to turn it over to Mark. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I want to provide you a bit of an update with what's going on with the park plan. And I'm Mark Hogan with Hoisington Cobra Group. I'm usually here talking about the comp plan. I'm subbing to Rita today. She was called away to another spot, but I've been involved a bit in this project as well. I'm going to take just maybe 15 minutes or so, if that's within the time constraints, and run through some of the high points of what's been going on to date to kind of bring you up to speed. And so you hopefully will walk out of here and know a bit more about what's going on. Looking first at the purpose of the plan itself, it's to really kind of update the plan and come up with a vision, new vision for the park system. Looking particularly right now at really the first three of what are four tasks, and I'll talk about those quickly. Really, we're talking about a strategic guide for the park system in the city in the future. Looking at one that meets the needs now as well as at a point in time in the future. And I think importantly, given scarce resources everywhere these days, one of the goals of this effort is to build what we're calling champions for the Parks and Rec system that will help kind of enhance the partnerships that are in place today and help build more of those in the future. I mentioned that there's essentially kind of a four-step process that's going on right now, and you can see the famous We Are Here arrow. If you look at it, there's three tasks that were pretty well substantially completed. Doesn't mean we're 75% of the way done. That doesn't quite correlate in that manner because there's a lot of work that appears in task four, which is actually putting the draft of the plan together. And that's what we're on the cusp of literally right now as I'm for you. So I want to talk briefly about kind of what's happened since we started the first of these tasks, which first of those was kind of looking at basically synthesizing information that's out there and evaluating that. We went through and did a gap analysis. We looked at some kind of peer communities, places like Madison, Wisconsin, for example. Similar populations, some similar characteristics, just to begin to draw some comparisons. There is an advisory committee that's been involved in this along with Park Board as well. We moved then into kind of a needs assessment, looking at trends analysis, what's happening locally and national with the park systems, and what does that mean in the future. I mentioned a moment ago that the peer community evaluation was a part of that. And then there's been some community engagement that I'm going to talk a bit about that's taken place. Early on, there were really several means in which people have weighed in on their thoughts about parks. First of all, I want to tell you that the body of information that was derived coming out of the DMC work and certainly out of the comprehensive plan as well has been used because a lot of those comments were park trails and open space oriented, and so those were folded in. But from the 10th of October through the 6th of November, there was an online survey that about 2,100 people participated in, providing something in the neighborhood of about 3,200 different responses. There were some listening sessions that were held. One of the things that's important in these is really to embrace and to bring to the table some of the partner entities that the city has, and the city certainly has a lot of that in sports organizations and others that really help meet the balanced recreational needs of the community. So there were some small group meetings with those folks. There was a community open house, and then the Hawthorne Education Center kind of did their own questionnaire, which certainly paralleled some of the things that we had asked before. The listening sessions and the open house that occurred, there were a number of key findings that came out of that. And basically, these are coming from the comments that the people have really said. Looking at things like facilities are beginning to show some age and maybe insufficient in some areas for needs in the community. That the recreational needs of the community certainly need to be recognized and continue to meet those needs as they evolve over time. In looking at the survey itself, there's always lots of good news, and I wouldn't characterize it as bad news, but learning news, if you will. There was very general satisfaction with the overall system. People were generally happy with the park system that's there. I think when you kind of dig down into that, though, there are some concerns, which are truthfully relatively obvious, just kind of about maintenance, cleanliness, desire for more natural areas, and a few things that people commented on. And really kind of we heard a recurring theme of this issue of ongoing maintenance and continuing to improve the system as time goes on and being able to fund the resources to do that. The Hawthorne survey, as I indicated, had a little bit different slant to it because it was done more in association with education. And you might be able to tell from the nature of those responses tend to be younger people, and that some of the top activities were playing with children and walking for that group. Some of the barriers that are difficult to do much about in the park plan is weather and being too busy. If we could solve those problems, we really would have quite a plan here. But we also got comments about the sporting activities that group of people were involved in heavily were soccer, football, and basketball, some of the interests, and that by and large, the vast majority of them felt safe within the city parks. And again, they weren't questions that were identical to the ones that were posed as part of the park plan, but they were parallel in many ways.
May I ask a question? When you indicated safe, does they feel safe being in the park, or they felt safe with the equipment that was available in the park?
It was a general statement. I think it had more to do with the environment, and do I feel safe in the environment than do I feel safe on this particular piece of apparatus. So, yeah, it took into account probably eyes on the street and lighting and, you know, just visibility kinds of factors.
Good.
So I think when you read the comments, if you read all the comments, that was kind of the gist that it was based on their feeling being in the park. That's the impression I got.
Thank you.
We've also looked at key findings in a number of areas. Again, this is an evolution of comments that were collected recently and then as part of those larger efforts that I mentioned. I won't go through all of these, but in general, the number and acreage of parkland needs to increase a bit to accommodate growth. Not a great surprise, probably. The accessibility of parks is generally very good. We look at things like how close are people within a quarter mile or a half a mile to a park from where they live, how do they get there, what major roads do they cross. Frontier scores quite high in that. Not surprisingly, the growth that occurs and continues, I suppose it's gonna swallow it up on the screen, it does, that continues to occur kind of around the edges or places where there appear to be some gaps, and those gaps will be remedied over the course of time. Certainly there were comments about the accessibility of barriers for lower income and minority residents as well, just in terms of accessibility and mobility to get around and access parks. We had findings relative to the facility mix. People felt that neighborhood parks lacked some identity, and I don't think it was a criticism necessarily of what was there. It was kind of a feeling that all the neighborhood parks are kind of alike, and in the future should they take better advantage of maybe some natural features or something to distinguish themselves. We had some of those kind of comments, some of those kind of conclusions. And again, consistent with this issue of maintenance and deferred maintenance, that major capital improvements were felt to be needed to some of the big ticket items, if you will, and it's not a surprise. Things like swimming pools, golf clubhouses, and so forth that demand attention and times and dollars over time. And then that the facility mix should be updated to incorporate current needs, and I think that was a reflection of changes in population and changes in recreational interests that certainly have occurred as a part of that. There were findings that came out of the earlier portion of the work related to mobility. People, by and large, really enjoy the trail system and sidewalk system that exists within the city. There are some gaps in that. There are always some gaps in that in communities, and they would like to see some of those remedied over time. And then, again, I think going to a realistic appraisal, if there aren't resources to do everything immediately, that think in terms of some prioritization of where do you spend resources when you have them for improvements. Things like safe routes to parks, safe routes to schools, scored high as being those kinds of things that one might address first. We had findings relative to natural areas that the people have talked a bit about. Expanding the potential for natural area programming was one of those. The natural areas within any community tend to be obviously where those resources sit, so it doesn't necessarily balance that it's convenient to all of the population. And so there were comments about kind of accessibility and mobility, trail systems and connections and so forth that allow people to kind of move across the community to get to where those kinds of facilities are. Relative to programming, there was a very strong sentiment that the partners that you have with the recreation programs do a great job. We heard that time and time again from a number of different sources. There's a little bit of confusion sometimes as to who's really providing the service. If I'm going to register for Activity X, who do I contact? Some of that kind of thing, but not a significant issue there. Looking at desire for kind of unstructured areas as well, most cities place a big emphasis, obviously, on active facilities, and I think that's great. That was found to be very valuable. But having things that are a little bit more casually oriented, maybe that you can drop in, whether that's an arts opportunity or whether that's a nature-based opportunity, that doesn't have to be scheduled, doesn't have to be part of the programming, was something that people had brought up. We had questions and input about, kind of again, back to the condition of the overall system. I think people thought that the routine maintenance is quite good in terms of vegetation management and that kind of thing. There were significant concerns, though, again, about deferred maintenance issues. And those were most apparent, again, in some of the bigger issue things that people see, parking lots that are crumbling. They see buildings that they perceive need improvements and are concerned about long-term, how does all of that get accounted for? There were findings relative to operations as well, some consistent themes. Again, felt that the system was really well managed, but concerned about funding long term. And I think partially in response to that was an interest in, you know, where can we effectively forge public-private partnerships, much as you're doing today with many of the sports organizations that really extend the ability of the community as a whole to provide recreational resources. So some of that was brought up. From there, the Park Board of Recent and the Advisory Committee have talked about some guiding principles. And these are the principles that are going to literally be utilized to kind of frame the direction that the plan is going. And as I indicated to you, that task force that had the big bar is where all the work's going to be occurring. This is some of the guidance that's really going to talk about how that begins to come together. What was determined was to do a series of kind of header phrases, if you will, and I'll run through these very quickly. I won't read every bullet point, don't worry. But the essence was really to try to capture what are the big ideas relative to Rochester's park system. Pretty much at the outset of this effort, the park department has gone through a fairly recent visioning process, and so that vision is intact, and it's essentially being supported by a series of guiding principles, the first of which is a statement that talks about supporting excellence. And that's really the whole thing of Rochester maintaining itself as a premier destination for tournaments and events. You have a lot of that now, and there's interest in more of that in the future. There's a recognition that parks plays a big role in the local economy, and that people that come in for the volleyball gatherings and other things that occur certainly infuse resources into the local economy. Partnerships with neighborhoods looking at overall condition is an element that's going to be stressed as a part of the system going forward. Rochester has been a community that also long has had an association with active living and health, and that's coming through in the park plan as well, to be able to offer both casual and programmed opportunities for people to emphasize and participate in health and wellness is something that will be emphasized in the plan. The idea of kind of encouraging exploration, whether that's navigating through a trail system or whether that's meandering on your own, being able to expand opportunities to provide access to nature, and particularly maybe the last bullet, in looking at really visitors and what visitors can take advantage of and be attracted to in the Rochester park system. You are obviously in a rather unique position in the community because of all of the people that come into this, to Mayo and to other sites for various activities, and that's a component that in a lot of park and recreation plans is not really a primary one. But in this particular case, it's looking at the visitor experience also, and how does that intermix with the experience and the opportunities that residents have as well. There's going to be an emphasis on flexibility and being responsible in the upcoming park system plan itself, to be to collaborate with users in facility development, to look at technology and how smartphones and the use of smartphones can help inform people about park and rec opportunities, where things are, how they get to different places. Growing gracefully, looking at the long term and looking for financial stability now and in the future. Being able to, as I mentioned before, build champions is a part of this overall effort to get people involved, to get them tied into the park system, to get them providing some of the resources that are necessary to keep it going and expanding long term. Connections in terms of trails and linkage of neighborhoods, this is reflective again of a lot of opinion that we heard from people, is one of the guiding principles it's going to be looking at, we're looking at as we go through and talk about specific park facilities and improvements in trail connections in the future. Looking at a system framework, what the park board has done is stepped back, and I think in an interesting manner, and this is probably a little difficult, it's more readable on your screen than on mine. Really kind of stepping back and saying, okay, we have, frequently when you talk about park and recreation improvements, things like trails come up, and there's the issue, okay, well, who's the trail for? Is it for the serious biker who's commuting, or is it for the family with a seven-year-old riding on a Sunday? That kind of mix is being depicted and is going to be studied and brought into this plan. You've got everything on the top from kind of the advanced elite user, who maybe is more of what I just described, is somebody who does serious bike commuting, who's not going to ride on the bike path, who's going to ride on the street, and what that means, to kind of the visitor and the lifestyle and the recreational. So as we look at park facilities, whether they're active facilities, passive facilities, parks, or trails, we're going to be kind of using some of this as a lens to be able to talk about, okay, who is it serving, how does it work, and how does it all fit together? And I think that's a little bit different perspective than typically we've come to some of these kind of plans and projects before. So with that, what's next? As I mentioned, we're transitioning from kind of that third task, which is solidifying the vision and guiding principles, to really rolling up our sleeves in conjunction with staff and putting together the draft. And that draft of the plan will be providing recommendations and implementation actions relative to park facilities, trails, everything that's really kind of a component of the park and rec system, programming, buildings, things of that nature. We're looking for those recommendations to start coming together literally in the next 30 to 90 days. We're looking at working with the park board and the advisory committee on kind of reviewing those and steering those in the appropriate direction, and then coming back probably in April and May for community engagement around this to be able to bring it forward and get comment prior to being finalized after that time. I can add my 2 cents worth of just coincidentally, that time frame for engagement is going to come together fairly well with the comprehensive plan as well. So there'll be a number of things to talk to the community about in the greater planning and parks picture. So with that, that's admittedly a rather hasty run through of a lot of work that's been done to date, but the intention is to kind of let you know where we are in this process and that we're really, again, on the cusp of bringing forward with thoughts and recommendations, which will be a little more meaty, if you will, perhaps, in some of this.
Well, thank you. One comment, as I read through the high-level materials that were prepared for us, I was impressed with how the detail of the analysis and how you segmented the users versus, and then the sort of amenity and what it would support and so forth. So that was good information. So I'm anxious to see the final report. Other questions from the council?
Question. I did read in the material that one recommendation was to strengthen the relationship with the schools.
Yes.
And so what kind of progress or what do you intend to do to adhere to this strengthening relationships?
We intend to look at strengthening the relationship with schools. I don't have an answer to that yet. That's on our to-do list. Certainly there is a functional relationship between any community, the school and the city itself. There's sharing of facilities. Even on a casual basis, people will meander the local elementary school to play on the play equipment or whatever it might be. And I think we just want to make sure that the communication between the city and the school district is as good as it can be going forward. And that's really one of our next tasks as a part of this, is to say, what's that really mean and where are there areas that if there's not cooperation today, there could be, or where things could be improved.
So you haven't had that discussion yet, but you will by the time the community meeting occurs?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Well, there have been some initial contacts, but there will be some more dialogue.
Just real quickly, we currently have a pretty strong relationship right now with school. It's a matter of strength. We don't want to overlap what they're doing, and vice versa, they don't want to overlap what we want to do as well. And I think, as was just mentioned, finding those key locations where we can develop our assets or our assets both for parkland as well as the programming side too, we'll go towards that conversation.
I think that's what you've been doing. I think that's just a critical part of what we should be doing in tri-government. So thank you for that. There was another question about create connections to improve the accessibility and reduce barriers. Did you find that there were outstanding factors within that question about accessibility that have yet to be addressed?
Well, I think there was probably as much as anything commentary along the lines of that those with reduced incomes and less access to transportation modes find it more difficult to get certain park facilities because, you know, if you look at the map of Rochester, you have parks scattered all over the place that are relatively unique in many cases. And if you live in the extreme northeast and something is down in the southeast, you may not be able to get there easily. And that may be one of the gaps where trail connections exist as well. So I think it was from probably as much of a mobility perspective as anything else that campus is issued. So that'll be looked at as part of the overall trail connections, the sidewalk connections kind of issues.
Well, overall, I thought this was just excellent. It was put together well, and it was easy to read. And thank you for your work.
All right. Mr. Camp.
I think one of the ongoing kind of challenges, again, comes down to there's a lot of great ideas, and I think this is all fantastic. but you probably know what the $25,000 question is, you know, how are we going to continue to afford the park system as great as we already have, let alone improve it? And I think, you know, it's good to hear that the Parks Board is taking it really seriously, looking at some of the funding streams and what's available out there. I think in terms of, you know, actual actionable feedback, my one main thing is the word cleanliness under supports almost implies to me that it's not clean, and I would put our parks against many of the parks in Chicago. I think they also have a great system. Very interesting to see some of the similarities, but I've always found the staff to be really responsive to getting some of the stuff cleaned up. So I don't particularly like that support excellence bullet in that way, but I think the overall kind of idea of coming up with some of those six touch points for what we intend to do is a good approach, and it helps get the mind share and sets a scene for a lot of people that we talk to on a regular basis about what we're looking to do with the Parks Department and where the future is. So other than that, I think it was a great rundown, probably a brief, but what we got in our packet was also very helpful.
We'll see if we can clean that.
Any additional comments from the Park Board Chair, or Mr. Widman or Mr. Nickberg? Any additional comments you'd like to share? All right. Okay. Anything else from the council? I think we're looking forward to the final product. Great effort. So, thank you. All right, we'll move on to our next item, which is a review of the proposed Heart of the City request for qualifications, which we had received a draft document. Mr. Newman, do you want to step us through?
Yes, I would. I've asked Patrick Sieb to join us at the table. This item is an initiative of the DMC board. This was an idea that they had. As you know, they have several top priorities, but I think the main ones appear to be Discovery Square, transportation, and also Heart of the City for this year is probably being their three top ones. There's a private effort to develop some plans in that area by the Hamas Company for their purposes, which also might be some useful information, but it's a kind of a private real estate company effort. And I believe the DMCC board believe that we should also, try and get something in the public realm going to look at the Heart of the City, that we can't just totally rely on or wait for a public or a private proposal, but we should do something to actually look at that area ourselves. And the area in question is the area between down in the Peace Plaza area from Center Street to Second Street, and on First Street, you know, in front of the Galleria, over to the Gonda building. That's kind of the area we're talking about. And the process that we've been working on, and Patrick's done the main drafting on the RFP, looking at some prior documents that we've had, because we went through kind of a similar effort to this a number of years ago. I don't know exactly when we built the current peace plaza that's in there, but the idea is to form a community advisory committee, and the membership on that would be recommended by Mayor Breeny and R.T. Rybak, and you'd have to, one of the council's roles is to approve the going forward on this, also approving the membership on this. They then would look at a three-phase process to get down, look at the qualifications, they'll shortlist the firms, they'll interview the firms, and then make a recommendation to retain a firm to come up with some design concepts in that area. There'll be a cost for that, which currently isn't in the budget, so you'd have to approve some dollars for that. And that would also be approved by the DMCC board and by the city council. And I think it's, best example is kind of what we went through a number of years ago. We had somewhat of a similar process. I'd say the other thing that we were looking at is, as a side item, to have kind of a separate group of the adjacent property owners to bring some of the building owners in that area in so they know what's going on as well. Just an informative thing. They wouldn't know. Some of them might be members of the committee, but by and large, to bring all of those owners in and let them know what's going on with the process. And we'd have to publish an ad for membership on the committee and get that moving forward. And Patrick will be the lead staff person on this and working with our office. Patrick, do you have any other comments?
No, I'm prepared to respond to any questions you might have, but I think Gary's description sums it up. And looking forward to any comments or questions or direction you might have.
I read through the draft document. I didn't have any particular concerns or questions, so questions from the council. Mr. Hildebrandt.
Yeah. Patrick, have we talked to the owners along that area yet, or Gary? Had any conversation with them?
I've talked to one of the owners, but not to all of them. I guess we wanted to find out if you were going forward for Sissel. In order to proceed on this, we'll put something on your next council agenda, so we can probably touch base with them before that.
And the process of selecting committee members would be the same as it's been in the past, through application?
I believe the mayor intends to have an ad in the paper, or at least a notification in the paper. He's discussed that with Mayor Rybak, and then they'll get applicants in, and they'll sit down and they'll jointly make some recommendations that will go over to the DMCC board and to the council for approval.
I did speak with the mayor just before this meeting, and he said he needs to get that going. He understands mm-hmm. that. He wants to get the membership, get that moving forward. So something should appear in the newspaper soon. Other questions?
I'll ask my standard question about women and minority business enterprises and how will you reach out to ensure that those notifications are evident.
Excellent question. A couple of thoughts that went into this. One is by positioning this as an RFQ that leads to an RFP, we believe that it will invite more submittals, more diverse range of submitters, because the threshold of getting your name in the pool is less onerous than submitting a full proposal. And so we feel like it's one way of structurally inviting a more diverse pool of submitters and applicants. And then those who are shortlisted know that the effort they'll put into a proposal is much more likely to result in a opportunity for them. So that was that's intentional on our part to help stimulate more diverse applicants.
I'd be interested to know how that turns out. Thank you.
I think you'll see how it turns out. It'll come before you.
I understand. Thank you.
Mr. Campion.
Yeah, so kind of on that same point, the RFQ, it looks like the community advisory committee, would do a kind of an initial pass, refine the list to some recommendations, the same way we kind of get recommendations for board appointees and stuff like that would come to us for ratification. We would essentially see every single proposal that came in. Is that the plan here?
I think it's they'll shortlist three firms and end up doing going through an interview process and then recommending one. Patrick? Mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, the idea, I'm just looking at the outline of this, the committee itself will have vetted those that submitted and will recommend to you those that should be shortlisted.
Okay. So it comes back to the council for action at the end of the RFQ vetting process, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
The council will be the final determinator. I mentioned the DMCC board also weighs in on that.
This is being structured as a joint effort of the DMCC and the City Council, so absolutely.
All right. Anyone else? Proceed. Get this thing moving. All right.
You want to see it on our RCA, or can we just get the ad out and away we go?
You know, Mr. Gosley, we would be better served, I think, to see it formally acted upon as an RCA, given it's a kind of a contractual in nature. Would you agree, or?
Well, I think we typically do have the council approve
usually
proceeding through a request for proposal or, right, in this case, qualification. So that
especially
would be typical.
Since dollars could be involved.
We'll put it on your February, your first meeting in February agenda.
All right, okay. That works. All right. Now we're to other business. I just had one item I wanted to bring up, just a comment based on an article I saw in the news over the past few days about our police department considering the possibility of obtaining drones for a variety of purposes. And I realize that there are many, many questions out there, so I understand that. My only comment is I would hope that if they do proceed with acquiring that sort of technology, that they would perhaps look at all options, including contracting, because it seems like it's kind of like the bomb squad, I suppose. It's I'm not sure we need to have that in-house. If you could perhaps contract with a firm that maybe has the newest technology, keeps the technology up to date, because there are licensure issues. I believe the operators need to be licensed as a pilot, if I'm not mistaken, which implies a certain number of hours of practice and experience and so on and so forth. So I would hope that we would not need that sort of technology very often. And as such, before I would want to really look hard at spending too much money on this, I would just hope we try to leverage other options that are out there. And that was just a comment, a knee-jerk comment as I read the article. Not that I wasn't intrigued by the idea, but I just want to make sure we're looking at viable options for if we choose to make use of that technology. Mr. Quenville?
I would think that before any of that technology was acquired, the City Council would have to approve such action.
I would guess that maybe our Oversight Commission or other bodies would weigh in as well. I think it was already raised in reaction to the media report that, you know, we need to be careful. What are the ground rules, or, you know, when could the technology be used? So there are a number of questions that need to be answered. I'm sort of fast-forwarding and hoping that the police department, if they get to that point, would consider, you know, all options for funding the technology. That's all. Ms. Means?
I'm just curious about how they may interfere with traffic. I think if the drone were close enough, I might look at the drone rather than the road. But just to see that from a safety standpoint, what measures are taken. Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. Any other business for this afternoon?
The one thing I do want to mention on the work schedule, I do want to see the women, minority, black, and diverse data reflected next time in the first or second quarter, as I have announced that I wasn't going to run for re-election. And I'd like to see that before it gets too busy at the end of the year.
All right. Thank you.
I have a question about the 7th or the March 7th City Council meeting. I don't think you'll have a quorum in town, so you, and I'm not sure when you come back from the NLC.
That's a good question. I know that Mr. Ruska and I will not be here on the 7th. Is there anyone else?
I mean, this is March.
I'm sorry, March.
For the NLC Winter Conference in Washington. So that's the, I think somebody would have to meet and then you adjourn it normally. So would you adjourn it to the next Monday, the 14th? I don't know if you'll be back for that next Wednesday. I'm not sure what your finished date is on that. Maybe we'll have to look and...
I'll be there
to NLC. Who else is going to NLC? I am.
I will.
I think Michael is.
Nobody have to.
I'm not. You're not. So there's at least four of us attending NLC.
Yeah, so I think you may want to have that meeting adjourned to another date. You might think of what date you want.
We can give us all two votes, right?
And I think
why would that worry?
Who's ever here on the 7th, I think, goes and does something in terms of,
I don't think,
recessing it to another date or rescheduling to another day.
I would think you could do it at the prior meeting.
I suppose you could.
Someone would have to show up here, you think, to...
Well, that's how it's happened sometimes in the past, but I think what David says, you could probably set that at your last meeting in February.
Well, can't we just set the schedule right now and change it?
I think...
Yeah, I'm not sure when you'll be back.
Right. I think it sounds like...
Remind me, what are the dates with the NLC right now? It's
6th through the 9th, I think. The Saturday through the Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, so...
That's right, because we come back...
So you may want to set it the 14th rather than your regular scheduled 7th.
And then have a meeting right away then on the 21st?
No, you have it on the... Yes, then you'd have your other one would be on the 21st.
Okay.
But we should know that, I suppose, to put out public hearing notices.
So
was it going to be a full meeting? Are we talking about rescheduling a full meeting?
Yes.
Meeting on month.
Yeah.
Regular official.
There you go. Yep. Now you're making sense to me.
So, Stephen, what you're suggesting is instead of the 7th, we would have a full meeting on the 14th.
Right.
And then another one on the 21st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm okay with that if that's acceptable to the rest of the council.
I think that's the way to do it.
Yep.
Can we need an RC?
We certainly can't cancel it. There's just too much work to get done. So if we go to the 14th and then the 21st.
Okay.
Do you formally adopt meeting dates in the annual meeting?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think it's...
Well, formally.
The first one is the regular meeting. It's not the specific dates. We meet the first and third Monday. We switch to Wednesdays. And
maybe at your next meeting you should establish what date
you're
going to
have. We'll have to do something at the next meeting to kind of formalize this.
Get the notice out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
What are those
general
dates again, please?
So the March evening meetings would be potentially the 14th and then right away the 21st. Consecutive Mondays.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? All right. Then we are adjourned. Thank you.